Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you today. I tell you what, we've got some things that are coming up. Now, these things that we have coming up are tentative, but we are hopeful. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention. We are looking forward to our Vital Men's motorcycle ride that's coming up on June 4th, 5th, and 6th. We're going to be headed out to the Lois Hills in northern Iowa and traveling that and going down and ending up in the southern tier of Iowa. Just a great time as men to where you jump on a motorcycle and have a great time. And again, that is a tentative date. We're hopeful that things will get turned around between now and then. But again, that is something to put down on your calendar and look forward to. And also too, we just want to encourage people that we are sending out devotionals 6 days a week. And I look at this, especially at the time that we're in now, it's an incredible way to just get pulled together, get a nugget, get a portion of wisdom that I think from the writer. We have five men that write for Vital Men, and we write 6 days a week. And then also too, my wife writes for the ladies. She too writes 6 days a week, and just a great time to plug in, keep things of information of what's going on, and also to jumping into God's Word. And I hope today that you're well. I hope that that as we're all concerned about health and the things that are going on in our country, and aren't you thankful for so much about the people that are positioned in leadership? I just want to give a big praise, thank you for our state governor. I think Governor Reynolds is doing an outstanding job in our state of keeping us safe. And those people, her team that's behind them, and all those things, we just want to be very prayerful for them as they make big decisions in the days yet to come. And also, too, at an even higher level, I think President Trump is doing a wonderful job as well, him and his cabinet, and also to his team on this whole coronavirus, as we're all been glued to the television, listening to our on the radio or even on our phones of information as it comes out. And aren't you thankful we live in a day, both good and bad, but where we can get that information to us in seconds, in moments of things that are happening around the world and in our country. But again, we want to be mindful. And as we get that information, that Jesus has got this under control, that he is our Lord and Savior, and he is the one that we keep our eyes to. So maybe today you're traveling down the highway and you've turned us on. We have an incredible teaching series that this is our final teaching portion of that today, but I hope that is a word of encouragement. Maybe those of you are sitting at home, nobody's headed for church, but you've turned us on. I want to thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your Sunday morning worship and also to a time of teaching. But we are, as we head into this, we are in an incredible time in history in living. It's amazing. We are living in history and seeing it unfold. I've never seen since 9/11 greater amounts of people, churches, nations coming together in efforts to find a way to combat this mighty virus. Like President Trump says, we are literally at war. War against a growing virus and at war with the enemy. Our lives will be forever impacted and changed from this moment on. My son Brandon, who has launched a church plant in Plantation, Florida, in a middle school, in which he's been told that indefinitely that there will be no return because of the situation of what's going on. But the interesting thing is his church, he was almost pushing to the 200 mark, and now they are having to do like many churches and do it live stream or on YouTube. He has over 1,000 people he knows that watched last week's teaching his sermon, and you can go to vibrantchurch.com and watch his message even today if you would like at 10:30. But what a great opportunity for the church to extend the walls of the church to go out. It's being forced, and I cannot help believe that our Lord and Savior and through the Holy Spirit is working some mighty things in the midst of this crisis that all of us are under. I also have a friend of mine who here locally, his name is Charlie McMillan, pastor of a small church here in Oskaloosa. An average church of attendance of most churches is 75 or less. But on Facebook Live, he had over 850 views that he showed going on Facebook, his sermon. And how his encouraging his life that is hidden within the story, much like many of ours today. We've seen on TV frontline folks in the medical fields too, people who keep us safe, all having stories that are hidden in ways that are caring for people, to reaching out Jesus. They're calling out on the Lord for prayer. Our grocery stores like Hy-Vee, Fairway, and Walmart are taking extra precautions to keep us safe. What a great time that we're living in the midst of things of a crisis, that people are coming hidden in the story, coming to the plate and doing some amazing things. I've been receiving a 60-day devotional, Immune to Fear by Christ for the Nations. One of the writers, the evangelist, Daniel Kalenda, wrote that the devil tempts us to fear. And I've never thought about that before, but he used the illustration that comes from Scripture, from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, where Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and Jesus would always combat his temptation with the Word of God. Jesus would always respond back to the devil, and he would say this, "It is written." So what if we combated at this time the fear of being of what is going on, but being encouraged by reading aloud God's word to overcome that fear? We can live a life of immune fear. Hear me? We can live a life immune to fear. Dark hours can be filled with hope in Christ. You want to beat the enemy, the devil? Then say the words. And I just want to share a few of these just for you as an example for you today, that you might be mindful. Maybe these are some of the verses that you want to put up in your vehicle, in your mirror, as reminders that we are overcomers in a time such as this. One of them is this: "It is written, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That comes from Philippians 4:19. "It is written, he will call on me and I will answer." Psalm 91:15. "It is written, the one who sees righteousness reaps a sure reward." Proverbs 11:18. "It is written, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Luke 10:19. "It is written, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near to you." Psalm 91:10. "It is written, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this." Psalm 37:5. Within these verses lies an underlying strength that helps us in times when we don't understand. When I don't understand something about God, I always try to remind myself of the assurance of what I do know about God. That God loves me and that God loves you. He hears our prayers, and I believe he will heal our land, folks. We just need to humble ourselves and pray. We need to take a time like this to pray like we've never prayed before and walk in unity in the story of what Jesus has done for us and that he does, in fact, hear. So be encouraged, my brothers and sisters, like it says in John 14:1. "Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me." This brings us this morning to our person hidden within the story, the disciple John. We overlook his role in the passion of the Christ. He was part of the inner circle along with Peter and James. He was one of the sons of thunder because he had zeal and passion and ambition. He wanted to call down the thunder and destroy the Samaritans when they refused to welcome his Lord and Savior Jesus to their community. What a guy he must have been. I would love someday we will all get to meet Brother John. He was passionately devoted to truth. When John wrote his book of the four Gospels, he emphasized the meanings of the events in the life of Jesus. For example, all four of the Gospels talks about feeding the 5,000. But John records Jesus' sermon that day of feeding the 5,000 called the Bread of Life. There is one major theme that John wants his reader to get. And hear me on this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you commit yourself to him, he will give you eternal life. Folks, if that doesn't give you an encouraging word this morning in the midst of what goes on, I tell you what, grab that verse, grab that commitment of life, and just understand that Jesus is with us every step of the way. See, John is also calls himself the Beloved. He is the one leaning on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. He loves Jesus so much that he wanted to be as close as he could to him. I love that. Just trying to get that image of what that must have been like on that day. You've heard me talk oftentimes about my Bernese Mountain Dog, Gia. We have this bond between each other, and when I'm home, she's like a shadow. She follows me from room to room. She loves me, and to be honest, folks, boy, I love that puppy. I love that dog. But when I sit down at the desk or at home, she has to touch me. She lays her leg whenever I sit down and my foot is to the ground. She'll lay next to it. She has to lay on my leg or lay on my foot. She'll put her head on my chest when I'm on the floor. We're almost inseparable in moments. And it just reminds me of God's love. Just being around animals is amazing. It's just that extra touch. And I know many of you who have animals in your home, or even those of you who are farmers that are listening today, there's just something endearing about animals themselves. And I don't care even if it's pigs. I tell you what, there's something endearing of what God has done through His creation. To me, that's John. Although his life is hidden within the story, he can't get close enough to Jesus. Man, he really loved him. He's the only disciple who followed Jesus to the place of the skull, the place called Golgotha. Let's look at his eyewitness account of Jesus and his crucifixion as we see John's life, which is hidden in the story. So if you're sitting at home today, we're going to look at John chapter 19, and we're going to start with verse 17, and let's do the reading of what it says in the Bible this morning. And if you're traveling down the highway again, I just encourage you to listen. This is a good word from the Lord for us today. It says this: "So they took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. He went to the place called the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests, they objected and said to Pilate, 'Change it from the King of the Jews to, he said, I am the King of the Jews.' Pilate responds, 'No, what I have written is what I have written.' And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless and woven into one piece from the top to the bottom. So they said, 'Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw the dice for it.' This fulfilled the scriptures saying, 'They divided my garments among themselves and threw the dice for my clothing.' So that is what they did. But standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside his disciple he loved, he said to her, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And he said to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from then on, the disciple took care of her and took her home." See, the thing that is my point number one is this, as we read John chapter 19, point number one is this: be mindful of details. As we read through John chapter 19, 7 through 27, we see Pilate, he posts a sign on Jesus' cross, King of the Jews. See, this is significant. This is the first detail in my mind that really jumps out to me, because Pilate wanted everyone to know why Jesus was being crucified and who he was. The city of Jerusalem would have been packed with people. It was the Passover time, so people were traveling to the temple to Jerusalem to commemorate the first Passover, which was commemorated from the time when Moses was in Egypt. When the tenth curse came and the death angel came over the land and killed every firstborn of Pharaoh's land. But the death angel passed over those of the Jewish people, those who had covered their doorposts with the blood by an unblemished lamb. See, this detail is so important because Pilate wanted everyone to know this innocent man was being condemned to death. He called himself the King of the Jews. Jesus truly was the king. He is the King of Kings. This detail made the leading priests absolutely mad. They had no king. They said our king was Caesar. Even though they hated the Roman rule, they hated Jesus more. They were blinded by their own religious rules and actions. We can see much of that sometimes even today. Blinded by religious tradition to the point that we want everyone to think that the way that we look and the way that we act. Could it be we went We want to be more than just simply to be religious on the outside, as to having true relationship with Jesus Christ from within. This week I've had a funeral, and I was asked to officiate this funeral by my aunt, Darlene Hogate. She recently passed away because of the corona. During the coronavirus, she did not die from the coronavirus, but she died during this time. And only 10 people could actually attend the service. I officiated the funeral and also, too, carried her casket to the grave. What an honor it was. My Aunt Darlene was a Voss, a daughter of George and Ruth Voss. While preparing for the graveside funeral, I was given her Bible to find nuggets about her life. Her Bible was absolutely full of notes. For some reason, she didn't underline or write in her Bible, but it was packed with notes and what verses of the Bible that meant something to her. I found two interesting things as I was looking through her personal Bible. Her son and her daughter brought it to my office one day, and then I had the time to go away and look and see the notes, see what she had said. Now, here's one thing that really struck me. She wrote down the date of August 31st, 1982 was the date she received Jesus Christ as watching the televangelist Jimmy Baker. She called for prayer that day and asked for prayer for her husband to receive Christ. She also noted this, that she had read the book of John after she had received Jesus. That's significant, folks. That's something that was important to her, and so she stepped into her faith and did something with it. The second thing I noticed was this, that she had written down Proverbs 11:30. This verse says this, "The seeds of good deeds become a tree of life. A wise person wins friends." See, folks, my Aunt Darlene cast a lot of seeds of kindness. She lived like Jesus. She always had a warm smile, a welcoming hug. Generally, you would get a kiss on the cheek. This woman lived her life serving Jesus, yet her life is hidden within the story, much like us. She paid attention to God's details and lived her life accordingly. And I want you to hear this, some of you who are listening today, and maybe some of you who know what, there's only time that you actually look or crack the book of God's Word is in desperation or at times that you're searching for something. I'm glad that you do, and I got to be honest, there's times in my life was the same. But this is what I want for you to understand as I look at the details. Oftentimes when I get an opportunity to officiate a funeral, seldom do I find details. Seldom do I see underlined written words of Scripture. I have to literally dig, and sometimes I have to ask the family who is left behind. And oftentimes they won't give me a lot to work with. Folks, our time, there's no do-overs on this earth. We only have one shot. And what a great opportunity for us in our Christian faith in such a time as this, that our Bible should be highlighted, underlined, notes written. This verse spoke to me. I encourage you by my Aunt Darlene, a woman who lived in kindness because of her faith and what she learned from God's Word. She really lived it. I will miss this woman. Which brings me to detail number two. They divided Jesus' garments. See, John gives us great detail about Jesus' clothing. They rolled the dice to see who would win it. But there was one garment specifically that they didn't. This was a specific moment to see how much that it was. And the specific moment was his robe. It was woven into one piece. Instead of tearing apart, they rolled the dice. See, this is important, and this is why. This fulfilled prophecy written long ago by King David. He gave a prophecy in Psalm chapter 22, verse 18. Jesus and King David writes this. "They divided my garments among themselves and throw the dice for my clothing." See, King David gave us details of the account of Jesus as of his crucifixion. You can go to Psalms chapter 2 and look through verses 11 through 18 and get an incredible detail written, hand-ready over hundreds of years before of the crucifixion of the Christ. We are living out details today. Details for our own safety. Paying attention to social distancing, washing our hands more frequently, using sanitizers to kill germs. Details for personal safety. See, John wrote specific about Jesus' clothing that was prophesied. We need to be paying attention in this time of history. Now, I'm not talking about a doomsday prophecy by no means. And it's important for us to understand that the clock is in fact ticking. It's been ticking ever since Jesus returned to heaven. Not all Bible scholars will agree that the virus is technically not a sign of the end, but rather a birth pain of the things that's yet to come. With that being said, I believe this time will advance a great revival that is coming. Now, not everyone is going to believe this, but I believe this with all that is within me. That great amounts of people are going to come by faith through this crisis, through things, and it's going to be a catalyst of what's going to be happening. Because we know this from the Bible. Because people are searching for something through their hearts. They want to know what is true. And what a greater time than this is to find out what is true. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. A detail we can all put into our faith in moments like this to understanding who Jesus is, what truth is, and how we can be overcomers in such a time in history like this. See, my next point of the detail is this, is that words have significance. See, Jesus speaks 7 times from the cross in 6 hours. John records 4 of them. In verse 26, he records Jesus saying, Dear mother, here is your son. Verse 27, Jesus says, Here is your mother. Verse 28, Jesus says, I am thirsty. And in verse 30, Jesus finishes with saying, It is finished. See, although John is hidden within the story, he gives an eyewitness account of the crucifixion. Remember that Peter had denied knowing him. He was not there. Judas betrayed him and has now hung himself. He is also not there. The other 9 disciples went out hiding. They were gone. They were also not there. But please get this. This is important. John didn't run and hide. He followed Jesus to the end. He loved Jesus so much that he risked everything. He could have been placed on the cross himself. The priest could have called him out. But his love for Jesus cast out all fear. What a visual for us today. You can either walk around fearful by the words that we hear by the media. Or we can walk in love by faith in Christ himself. Yes, we are in a crisis, but we are in love with Jesus, and by our faith do we show that towards other people. I had an opportunity this past week as I was going to Fairway to get some groceries. And as I was going there, there was this couple that was there, and it was not your typical, what I would say, couple that had faith. They were, to be honest with you, they were disheveled in their looks. You could tell that tough times had already been on them before the crisis ever hit. And I was, as I walking through the Fairway, the Holy Spirit nudged me, Mike, pay the bill. That's all I heard. Pay the bill. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I could walk in fear, or I walk in obedience in moments like this. So I watched them as they made their route through the Fairway store. They got what I would call the bare essentials. And as they were getting ready to pay out, they were actually on the 10 item or less as they were leaving. They had 2 little boys. And the young man, he was standing in line and shuffling as he had to come up with the money that he had, and he was paying cash dollars and counting coins to have enough to pay. I passed through the line. Holy Spirit was speaking, pay the bill. I walked up to him. I said, put your money away. I've got this. He looks at me, and I could tell in his mind, he's thinking, who are you? Where did this come from? His wife looks at me. She says, sir, I just want to thank you. Thank you for helping us today. And I looked at him and I said, such a time as this, that we've got to learn to take care of each other. I never mentioned anything about Jesus, but it was a moment of playing the story, hidden within the story. Folks, we have all kinds of opportunities today to do that, to be men and women of faith. Step to the front lines. We got frontline people today that are going out in the medical field, in the emergencies, the police officers, frontline people who are doing incredible acts. Folks, it's also our opportunity. We can do incredible acts. We can do things like John the Beloved, the one who chased after Jesus all the way to the end. That we'll see that we get an opportunity to read in his Gospels, his hidden story, set down from the generations of time to generations yet to come, that we can see Christ's love. See, folks, in this concluding verse, I want to give to you today in John chapter 16, verse 22. So also, you who have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. That, my friends, that, my brothers and sisters, is an encouraging word for us today. I pray that those of you who are listening, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today could be that day. An opportunity where you can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe those of you who are listening want to know, what can I do? Folks, I ask for you to act. Maybe you go and you pay for somebody's gas, you pay for groceries, you do something. We have no greater time than this to be the church outside the walls. Let's live it. Let's do it. Let's be people of love and not people of hate and anger, of desperation. We have faith and we need to bring it to the world. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we can claim and proclaim the blood and the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and that his return is coming, that he will return after us. I pray, Jesus, that maybe some of us today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that will simply, all it says in the Bible, that all we have to do is ask and confess our sins, that we may come to know Jesus and we simply have a relationship with him. It's simple. It doesn't have to be hard. Folks, I just thank you, Jesus, that you love us. I thank you, Father, that you sent your Son. And I thank you, Jesus, for allowing the Holy Spirit to reside and go around the planet in such a time as this to give us comfort. The Comforter is here, Jesus. Thank you. And we praise your name forever and ever. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, our Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I pray that this has been an encouraging word for you today in a crisis of a hard time. I pray that you stay and look to the light. Remember that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I want to thank you for listening. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.